Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a show where two friends ask and attempt to answer life's least challenging challenges, and the only show that has the audacity to call itself Quick, despite having an average runtime of 50 minutes. I am Daniel O'Brien, comedian, historian, author, thoughtful fisherman, and one half of this podcast, and joined with me, as always, is Soren Bowie. Where are you?
Well, as long as we're just saying shit, sure, I'll be a historian too. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a television writer, and Dan is my best friend.
And we're missing someone today. We're missing Bacon, who is our CFO. He's normally with every episode. He's the reason that the show exists, and we're really sad that he's not here to join us. But you know, it's sort of out of our hands. He's on that that Riker's boat. When the prison at Riker's gets too loaded, and they just stick the men on that boat for a while, and it's supposed to be for only 60 hours, but who knows at this point? It's been well over a week.
Yeah, it's really
troublesome. You know, God bless. He's definitely not innocent, but we still hope he gets out.
Yeah, and all he can do is just stare at the fish in the water with no fishing pole.
I know. It sucks. It's the worst thing. Anyway, once again, this is Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, and we'd like to start off by thanking our listeners who prefer to be called Questicular Answers. How about that one?
Oh, that's by far and away the best one.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. Okay. Shame we'll never say it again. We like to call out one of our fans with a review every week that we read on air. I had my assistant Bacon print out all the reviews on custom-made playing cards, and I'm shuffling them now to pick one at random. Shuffle noise.
It was great that they gave him the opportunity to use all of that stuff on the Riker's boat.
It counts as community service because we're doing this podcast for the public good. And I've picked one. Holy smokes, Soren. It's a 5-star review from user
the fuck out.
Mucho859, who writes, "My new favorite thing to listen to while I bathe."
Okay, is that
thoughts?
It?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, lots. Wow. Wait, have you ever listened to a podcast while you're cleaning yourself?
No. This is one that we really should have had Bacon on for, because do you remember he pitched us an invention of his?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was a place to put your phone, and you can still tap and touch your phone while you're in the shower.
Yeah, it was a cup that you could stick to the wall of your shower so you could listen to podcasts while showering.
Yeah, it was a cup.
He invented cups and suction.
And we went, hold on, why? And he went, you guys don't want to be on your phone in the shower? Like, no, I mean, it's never even occurred to me. I don't even think I bring my phone in the bathroom.
No.
When I'm bathing and showering, because of the moisture in the air, it makes me worried about my phone.
And it's a perfect opportunity to charge your phone.
That's right, yeah.
Because I'm not going to use it.
It's the one time when you're just sort of there, and your hands and stuff are busy that whole time.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be moving around on my phone, like, I can do that as soon as I get out of the shower. I've got shit to do in there.
Yeah. And I'm in the shower, certainly, trying to be in there for as little time as possible. I don't enjoy showers. They're a necessary thing that I do in the morning. If I'm feeling luxurious and I want to take a bath and I have time, I certainly don't want to listen to a podcast, because podcasts are very, in my mind, an active experience where I'm listening to, whether it's like a true crime thing or an interview thing or a news thing, whatever it is, I'm passively participating in it. So if I'm going to listen to anything, it's not going to be a fucking podcast. It's going to be like music or like the sound of rain or something like that.
So you don't enjoy the act of showering?
No.
I
enjoy the act of showering post like a hike or a workout or something like that. I don't like showering in the morning before work. And I always shower every morning before work, but I just hate it.
Is it because you're exhausted when you get in there? Maybe you're ruining the experience for yourself. I do it at night before I get into my bed.
Is that better? Is it better to do it at night?
I love it. And it also means that your sheets stay pretty clean for a while.
You don't shower before work?
No, never.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll try to a friend of mine, an ex actually said, shower at night before you go to bed and you'll have a better life. But it's just not. I use it to wake up. It's a perfunctory. It's part of how I start the day.
That's how I used to do it in high school. And that was a time in my life where I was like exhausted all the time. And I think I felt the same way as you. I was just like, all right, I got to do this part of the day. I got to get up. I got to get wet here for a second. And then, then I'm allowed to go to school. Like, since I've been showering at night, it is sort of like a treat at the end of the night where I'm like, oh, now I deserve this.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll give, cause I'm kind of the opposite where like at the end of the day, I like everything leading up to me being asleep to just be like luxury time, to just be relaxing time. Like I've finished work. I finished working out. I've cleaned my apartment. I've cooked dinner. I've cleaned the dishes that I used to cook dinner. And now the best time of day is the last like hour and a half where I don't have to do anything. And I feel like if I added a shower into that routine, then it would just be another looming thing that I had to do before I was asleep.
That's possible. I'll say that it became like a luxury to me. Getting in the shower is really nice. I agree with you. It's not, I'm still doing stuff while I'm in there. Like my hands are busy, but that's because it's all that practiced work of having doing the same thing every single day that frees your mind up. And that's like a luxury to me where I'm just thinking about stuff in there and I'm feeling that nice warm water. Occasionally, if it was a really hard day, one hand up on the stall, like one hand up on the wall, think about some things. Sometimes I spit water.
Uh-huh.
It's a big game in there.
But anyway, someone listens to our show while they're bathing, and that is very interesting.
Frankly, that's disgusting. We didn't even touch on the fact that he's bathing. Like, his luxury is to hop into that bath, light a few $60 candles, and
draw a bath, throw some bath salts in there.
Let our dulcet voices take him away on an adventure.
Speaking of candles, I got a story for you before we get into our quick questions that you and DOB's devotees will appreciate.
let's not call him that.
Okay. My mom fucking dunked on me.
My favorite thing in the world is when parents don't even realize how much they're fucking up their kids. I want to hear this.
Oh, no. She did it on purpose. So I hung out with my mom recently. We live in different states, but we met up in New Jersey, and she wanted to celebrate a thing. So I'm taking her to the Emmys. She is my guest, my plus one for the Emmys.
That's a perfect choice. That's the perfect choice.
It was never going to be anyone else in the world. And so I'm taking her and we wanted to meet up beforehand. So he wanted to thank me, obviously, and just like hang out and talk about where we're flying into, where we're staying. And I was, you know, like, here's this app that you can get. People are going to come and do your hair. We had a bunch of things to talk about is the point. And she wanted to thank me for the invite. So she got me a gift and I was very happy to get this gift. And she handed it to me and it was a candle and it was a very nice candle and it smelled like, she was like, it smells like burning wood. It smells like a fireplace. And it's got a special wick that crackles like a fireplace would. So it does everything that a fireplace would do. And it smells really great. And I was like, thank you. This is a very thoughtful gift. She said, and it's $16 from Yankee Candle. And you can get it anywhere in the world. So it's clear my mom listens to the podcast. So shout out, Mom. What's up? And she is very worried that I'm spending too much on candles and just wanted to show like $16, you fucking idiot.
Do you see how easy this was for me? I didn't even break a sweat getting this.
Yeah. Didn't go online. Just stopped at a Yankee Candle in like an outlet mall where I was like, oh, look, a Pier 1 and a Barnes & Noble and a Houlihan's and a Yankee Candle. I'll spend my day there and get a bunch of presents and a meal for $35.
I this is very nice of your mom to do this.
Yes.
But I think maybe we just need to take a little break from inventing new candle scents.
Okay. Disagree, but go on.
A fire, like a fire in your house, that's the best part of that is not the smell by any means. I hate the smell of a fire.
You do?
Yes.
I think you're in the minority on that.
Really? It's just that smoky smell and like a house that clearly has had a lot of fires in it. You walk into the house and you're like, ooh, that's a spicy scent.
I love it. Oh, gosh. Is this the end of our friendship?
It might be. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I think it means that we probably can't move in together.
Oh, absolutely. No, wait.
I mean, that would be crazy, right? If we just moved in together?
We have a mutual friend, Greg Burke. who Dan, for a very long time, was trying to just gradually convince Greg to go to wine country with him, but in a very strong and abrasive way.
Yeah.
And Greg would be like, I'm not, is this another thing where you're trying to get me to go to wine country? And it would be like these long, elaborate stories that Dan would come up with just to tell Greg to be like, and so we should go to wine country.
Yeah, not for a long time or anything, not forever, just like a couple of months just to test the waters and see how it feels.
See,
you can't really get, it's called wine country. It's not wine town or wine province.
You gotta,
you need to
all.
Spend some time to get acclimated and to see all the different wineries.
And see how we click. What happens between us? Yeah. yeah, I think it means we probably can't ever live together, especially in a place with a fireplace.
All right. Do you want to get into the show and ask each other some questions now that we've been talking for 11 minutes?
Yeah, I guess we should. Can I ask you a quick question yet, or do you have more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Dan, quick question.
Uh-huh.
What's something in your life that you wish people held you accountable for? Like, do you understand what I mean by that question? That you're on your own. You don't live with anybody. You're kind of responsible for yourself. And inevitably, when you live that way, there are certain things that just slip through the cracks always. And you're like, damn, what I need is like a personal trainer, but for this one thing.
Ooh, yeah. I have a bunch of those because I keep a pretty tidy apartment because I don't like mess. And cleaning has been like part of the beginning of the day, end of the day ritual for me of just like, don't go to sleep with a messy apartment. Don't wake up to a messy apartment. These are helpful things that I live by. That said, there are a couple of things that I do that I am only hurting myself, and I just need to outsource it to someone else to get me to fix it. One of them is when I get an apple, I'll take an apple from my fridge, I'll wash it, I'll take the sticker off of the apple, and instead of putting it in the garbage, I will stick it to the inner side of the sink, knowing that later I will clean that sticker. Like, there's no one else who's going to do it. And I'll let like three stickers build up before I clean my sink and get rid of the stickers. I wish someone would stop me and be like, hey, who do you think's fucking cleaning that sticker later? It's you. Just do it now. The sink is so close to the garbage.
Yeah, what's
just
the geography of your kitchen? Where's the sink in relationship to the garbage?
The sink is maybe 4 inches above the garbage. It's insane. And
why are you doing that?
I don't know. I have no I have no answer for myself. I can't explain it. Similarly, I will, when I'm done with a toilet paper roll and it's clearly empty, I'll just let it sit there until the next time I need the toilet. That's when I will change the toilet paper roll. And it's, again, it's a thing where I'm like, I'm not winning here. It's not like if I don't change the toilet paper roll, some other sucker has to do it. The other sucker is just me in the future. And yes. I'm just putting this task off.
You're just worried about future Daniel. I mean, you're not worried about future Daniel.
No.
I wonder if that's because, like, there is, the only other possibility is that you won't have to deal with it because some travesty will befall you or the world, and like, you got away with that one. You're never gonna have to use the toilet again because now you're dead, or you're never gonna.
No, sure, you pray for a fire.
And then as you're burning alive, you can think to yourself, oh, didn't have to go all the way into the sink, open up a new package, put a new one on the roll, decide if I was going to recycle this one or just throw it away.
Think of those precious seconds I saved.
I don't think that's that uncommon, actually. I think a lot of people do that. Same with like lint traps. I think people just on their dryers, like they get their clothes out of the dryer and they're like, fuck it, I'll deal with that lint trap later.
See, weirdly, I love cleaning my lint trap. I love cleaning my lint trap and my vacuum. Those are two very therapeutic things for me.
It's just cathartic? Is that what you like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get that from cleaning my son's fingernails.
What are some of yours? Who want to be held accountable?
Yeah, I mean, like, speaking of my son, I just noticed recently that I'm always telling him what to do because he's almost four, but like, he doesn't know because he's a kid. And so like, I've got to tell him, like, don't put that in your mouth. We're going here. No, come here. I got to put sunscreen on you. You can't wear that shirt. We're putting on this one. And I remembered that as a kid being like, I mean, thank God they're in charge. My parents are in charge because I wouldn't know what to do. And I need these rules, like these capital RULES rules in my life. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, all those just sort of go away and you're responsible for yourself. And it's just like heart of darkness out there. You can do anything that you want. And in some ways, like you kind of define them for yourself along the way based on, well, okay, am I going to die because of this? But there are a lot of rules in my life that I really wish that I could still have and that I don't. Like, we never were allowed to eat fast food when I was young. And maybe that resulted in who I am now, but I love fast food. Like, I adore fast food. I can tell you the best thing to get at any single fast food restaurant.
Right.
And it's not good for me. I know it's terrible for the environment. It's terrible for a lot of things. Just get stuck.
Right. And politically, you agree with everything that every major fast food chain says, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And so, yes, politically, it's bad. But I cannot help it. Like, it's the thought of me never eating fast food again makes me, my palms sweat and I get very nervous. It's like an addiction almost.
Right. There was a Culture Kings was a phenomenal podcast that everyone should check out. And they did a crossover with Doughboys, another phenomenal podcast that everyone should check out recently. And they talked about all of the different fast food chains that have donated to President Trump specifically. And can you cancel these chains? And I'm listening to this and listening to people who are like, yeah, I can, I don't need Taco Bell for the rest of my life. If I had to cancel them, I could do it. And every single chain they mentioned was like, no, I can't 100% say that I would not eat there for the rest of my life.
Right. Yeah. It's an impossible ask. And if I had somebody who is constantly there in the car with me, who was like, don't do it, don't do it. And like giving me reasons why I shouldn't, because I know that there are good reasons, but I can justify it in my own mind at any given moment. And I just need somebody to hold me accountable for that. And I don't have it. In fact, what I've started doing is when I will be driving at night or, you know, sometime when I'm really hungry and thinking about, oh, I really want to stop for some fast food, I will put on songs that are about addiction and like people overcoming addiction.
These just a Cold War kids song about being an alcoholic.
Yeah, we used to vacation. That's the perfect example. There's like that's a song about a guy who's promising his wife and kid that he'll never drink again, but he just doesn't mean it. And like and use these other people, all these people who've been through real things and their pain, and I'll be like, yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm feeling that right now. There's a great song by Ra Ra Riot called Bad to Worse that's all about addiction. That's like how this guy who's just it's written like a love song and like we're not good together, but yeah. You can't help it. And you're
thinking, yeah, no, I know that struggle. I want Wendy's.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, I feel you. We're the same, you see. I really love the fries at McDonald's and I'd like to go get one. Their combination for their Coke, whatever their formula is for their Coke, is different than any other Coke I've ever had. And it's delicious and I need it.
Right. I do feel that. Like with fast food specifically, because I also struggle with eating too much fast food, and with wanting rules and structure generally. Like, I think that's the reason, it's clearly the reason that every time I have a hiatus from work, some kind of break, I schedule a trip or a task of some kind. Because if you leave me alone, I'm bad. I'm no good. I'll sit in my apartment alone and do nothing for an entire day. So I need to like, oh, I'm going fishing because there are strict rules with fishing, or I'm taking a trip with planned excursions because I need to be told where to go and what to do at most times.
Yeah.
I would love if they still had, not college, but like the exact structure of elementary school that I could dip into every once in a while, where it's like, all right, you have to be awake at this time. And then for this chunk of 45 minutes, you're going to learn about social studies. And then for this next chunk of 45 minutes, you're going to learn about science and then math. And then you get a break where you eat and then a break where you're outside. And then you're back to learning. Now you got to talk about books for 45 minutes. I would love that as an adult. Just like, here's a way to structure your day where it's not relying on my self-control because I don't have any.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, think about what recess was like when you were that age and how much freer you were during that period because you knew that's what it was for. Yeah. And now that you don't have these, everything's sort of just this gray, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. No matter what free time you have, you never fully enjoy it because you always know in the back of your mind, well, you know what? I could be working on my book, or like, I should be getting some more sleep. I mean, it's late at night. I should be going to bed. And if you, if it was all structured out, then you know recess is recess, man. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I feel that way. We used to be on set a lot, you and I, when we worked at Crack. Let's just call it Crack, which is like the worst joke that we get all the time from everybody.
Every single person. Joke.
So yeah, when we worked at Cracked, we would be on set a lot, and I loved being on set because everything is structured. There are very specific rules about what I'm allowed to touch, what I'm not allowed to touch on a set, where I'm allowed to be at any given moment, and everybody just tells me what to do all the time. And it's
That's just so liberating. You'd sit in a little room and then someone would say, Soren, we need you now. And you would go there and you loved it.
I was so happy when we would go, we would be on set. I knew that the day was planned out. If there were there was time where they were like, okay, we're working on another scene right now. You're free for like half an hour. I was like, then that's my time and I can do whatever I want. And I would just go steal a furniture pad and I would sleep on it or, read. Like it's time that the day is already given to this production. I know that from this time to this time we're filming. So I haven't planned anything else during that time. So when they say you're free for half an hour, that's real freedom all of a sudden.
Right. Is there a structure to your current job, like day to day?
Yeah. More so than at Cracked, actually, where during the day, someone comes in and says, hey, lunch is ready. You're all going to lunch. This is where we're going in the morning. And then when after lunch, they come and collect you. There's not like you have to be back at a certain time and you're responsible for being in the room. No, somebody comes and gets you. And I really like that. They tell me at every given moment. They'll tell me 2 days in advance, hey, we're doing a record on this day. Scott Grimes is coming in. You have to be here at this time. And
What's a normal day, though? Like, I asked what your daily schedule is, and you've only described lunch. What is a typical Monday?
I roll into the office around like 10:30, and then we don't usually get going until about 11. Somebody comes and gets me, takes me into the, we go into the room, and they hold my hand into the room. They're like, you'll sit there today. We sit, we'll work on a rewrite, or we'll be breaking a story. And then lunch gets called around 11. At around 1. And then we're off for an hour and a half or so. And then we go back to work until about 5:30. And that's the whole day. It's just sitting in the room and doing rewrites or breaking a new one.
Okay. So you do have like a general thing to do every day.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Where I'm going in. And even on... You know, so I've tried on days where we're writing scripts, where you're like out on script or you're out on outline, you have all that time is to yourself. You're not expected to be in the office during any of that time. And I've been so terrified on my first two that I really did create a system and stuck to it as far as writing. But I already know that the cracks are showing and that I'm going to give up on that system eventually. I've tried so many times to... I know people are listening are being like, just fucking structure your own life, man. You're an adult. Do it. But it's not that easy. You don't understand.
Shut up. Fuck off.
It's not that easy for everybody. I have tried several times to be like, from this time to this time every day, you're going to write. From this time to this time, you have internet time. You can just be on the internet. You can do whatever the fuck you want. This time is when you eat lunch. And they're generous time periods. And no matter what, I fail. I give up on it after a week or even less than that. And I cannot be held accountable by just my own self because I know that in the end I'm like, no, who gives a shit? It's just you. Like, who are you doing this for?
Right. Oof. Anyways. Yeah. Hey, Soren, I got a quick question for you.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Hit me.
Okay. All right. I have in my notes, I've written something, let's talk about walking etiquette. This is just a thing that I think about all the time. And I think we might've had a conversation about this in the past. I do a lot more walking in New York. I've always walked a bunch, but I just do more of it now because I don't have a car and it's a very walkable city. But separate from that, my whole life on any given day, I feel like I've been the only person who moves out of the way of other people when walking. I spend so much of my time dodging people and like, I don't know if I'm crazy. I feel like if there was any kind of karmic justice in the world, that I would at some point come across someone who was more of a beta cuck dipshit than I was, that they would move for me. Like, they would recognize, oh, this person's important, I need to move. But so far, no. So far, I've been dodging everyone my entire life. And sometimes I go home and I think, if I wasn't here, you would all just be fucking crashing into each other all the time.
Yeah, how do you, they not?
How do you navigate without me?
No, listen, I'm on the same page as you in terms of walking etiquette, and that there are rules to pedesting. Or pedestering? I don't even know what to call it.
Pedesto.
Yeah.
You've always said, you've frequently pulled me aside and been like, Daniel, there's Pedesto's rules to live by. I never exactly knew what you were talking about, but it I was assume this. It's walking.
It was this. No, I mean, I'm with you completely. The first time I ever read an article that was like about man slamming, that was like this thing where women were like, listen, men do not get out of the way for you when you're walking down the street. It's the woman's job to get out of the way. It seems like culturally that we've just sort of decided on that. And so as a woman, I'm just going to continue walking in my path. And if I happen to walk into a man, then so be it. And I was like, I feel that way too. All I do is get out of the way of other humans. I'm so hyper aware of where my body is at any given moment. They're like, I know that if I'm wandering down the street and I need to look for something, I'm looking for a storefront or an address, I pull over to the side of the sidewalk. And like, I have to get out of people's ways. And if I can't, it's so nerve wracking. I get very anxious if I have to stand or not go the speed of traffic.
Right.
And like, I'll walk out into the street and be like, it's fine. If I get hit by a car, that's on me, obviously, because I had to slow down everybody. And then just walking down the street, when I see groups of two or three people and they're walking side by side and they're taking up the whole sidewalk, I get so mad inside my heart because I'm like, no, you have to know better. You see me coming the other direction. What do you expect me to do? Let's just stop here, have a conversation.
Right. I've been in that situation where I've like literally had to stop and just wait on the side. And I try to do it with some element of drama so they can see that they've changed the world, that a person has stopped in his quest to go where he's going and just like parked himself to wait for this group of four fucking people occupying a New York City sidewalk in a single horizontal line, but it doesn't move them at all. They don't care. They don't care that a man has suddenly stopped and has slowed his day down.
And they've just invited themselves into your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see people walking down the street, especially with phones. Like, phones are such a big fucking problem, but
yeah,
people on their phone, and they start to weave a little bit and like, all right, I know my strategy. I know I'm walking. I'm thinking literally four steps ahead. And so I know, okay, well, they're moving in that direction, so I'm going to go around on this side. And as soon as I start that move and they head in that direction, I'm like, no, 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 no. We had an agreement. We had an agreement. I showed my intention. I'm headed this way so that we don't run into each other, and now you're weaving. You're not paying attention.
Right. I angle like my head and my eyes to very clearly project what I'm going to do. This is the path that I'm taking, and it's the one that makes the most sense right now.
You do facial turn signals?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not as much of a problem here, honestly. I mean, if you walk down Hollywood or Vine or something like that, you run into it, but...
That's good. I went to the zoo today, and it was just a fucking nightmare.
Nobody paying attention. And that's another place where everybody's... Yeah, their heads are up. Their heads are up and they're not paying attention because they want to see the gorillas. But
and they're all toddlers. They all might just suddenly change their gait at any time. So I feel like I'm watching the whole world and just trying to survive.
I do pride myself on how good I am and elusive I am in traffic. I feel like maybe I'd be a really good running back because I see the holes. I know like how to slip in between people. But I do the entire time I'm doing it. I'm thinking I shouldn't have to do this.
Right. Or I think like, okay guys, I'll do this today. And then tomorrow you'll all move for me. Right. Planet Earth. This is a give and take situation where one day I will be able to walk down the street confidently. Do you think a confidence thing or am I projecting that?
I think it's just a lack of awareness. I mean, I certainly have caught myself fucking it up. and realizing there's somebody behind me and how profusely apologetic I can be. Or even in your car, like where you realize that you're just, there was one blind spot that you weren't really focusing on. You didn't realize that when you came to that four-way stop that only two of the ways had a stop sign. And you're like, you start to go and then you're like, oh shit, no, that is on me. That's definitely on me. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just them not being aware, and then not being aware even once you've tried to make the problem apparent to them. Right. They're still just oblivious to it, which is, at that point, they're a lost cause. I don't know what to do with them at that point. Dan, I got a quick question for you.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. You're still fishing, right?
Yep.
That's not the question. I just want to make sure that you're still fishing. Okay.
I could talk about it more.
I'm going to ask you to talk about it more.
Okay, good.
Have you caught glimpses yet with your fishing hobby of where your personal ceiling is within the hobby? Does that make sense? What I mean is...
Yes.
Oh, you... Okay.
But like, explain it for other people.
I mean... You know, with any hobby, this always happens where you're constantly moving on to the next level. It's almost like a video game where you're like, you're constantly exploring this new world and there's new and exciting stuff within that world that you weren't aware of yet. And then you reach this one level within a hobby and you realize either like, I don't like this anymore. This isn't for me. Or you realize I'm out of my depth. This is too far into the hobby. Everybody who's doing this is better at this than me. I think I'm going to just give up.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think, I think there is a thing that could make me give up on fishing, but it's not that. It's not getting so deep into it that it overtakes my life. I would love that. What I think might happen is that, because of the limitations of my schedule and the specificity of my work schedule, where my weekends are Monday and Tuesday, I have very limited options in New York as far as fishing goes. There aren't a lot of boats that go out Mondays and Tuesdays, and there are a couple in Brooklyn, but that's a long trek for me, and it's an early morning. So if I want to get to this boat that leaves at 7 o'clock in the morning out of Brooklyn, and actually I want to get there a little bit earlier so I can get a good spot on the boat, that means waking up sometime around 5 something so I can take my dog out and make sure he goes out and does his business, because I'm going to be gone for several hours, and then take a lift, which is like $75 from my apartment to Emmons in Brooklyn, where the boats go out of. And I'm fine doing all that, but if I do a couple of those in a row, week after week after week, where I don't catch anything, then I'm going to give up on fishing real quick. Like, yeah. There are plenty of fishermen who just love the experience of it, and I like it a lot. I really do enjoy it, but spending that money and spending 8 hours and then not catching dinner is upsetting to me. And it happened this week. Tuesday I went out and was out for many hours and didn't, the captain just wasn't putting us on keepers. I caught plenty of fluke, but none that were big enough, and I still had a fine day. But if that happened again next week on the one day a week that I get to fish and I didn't catch anything, then I'll be bummed. And if it happens a third week in a row, then I'll start questioning, is it worth it to...
You just give up on that
Burn this whole day to not catch anything. Then yeah, I'll say fuck it. But, you know, that's not an indictment of fishing. That's an indictment more of like the specifics of my circumstances right now. If I lived in Brooklyn, if I lived somewhere where I could just decide to start fishing one day, any day of the week, then no, I would never give up on it, and I'd love it forever.
Let me float another idea past you. Live on a boat.
Yeah, float like boats.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was headed. Live on a boat.
No, Dan. but I got there first.
What is that? Could you live closer to the water? Could you like move out to Red Hook or wherever the fuck you're casting off from?
Well, at the moment, I prefer to be closer to work, so I don't have a commute. That's one of the most important things to me. But, you know, in the future, when I get fired from this job, sure, I could live fucking anywhere. I could be on that fancy tent coffin that's been going around the internet lately.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That thing that floats down the river and you can't see anything.
Yeah, someone invented a boat you could die in. That's cool.
It's really, I don't understand it. I don't understand when you would ever conceivably want to use that. Unless you're Huck Finn.
But to your like main point, I don't see a ceiling there for fish. Like I watch a lot of fish YouTube videos. Like Fisherman's Life is a great one, and Outdoor Fisherman is another good one where he does a series where he just like he's a sushi chef by trade, but will also take trips and catch and forage things and then make sushi out of them right on the spot. It's incredibly soothing, enjoyable videos, and exactly the kind of life that I would like to have if money was no object. And I could just be someone who's like, I'm going to wake up, catch fish, eat that fish, go to sleep. That's sort of where I'd like to end up, is just like an entirely fish-based lifestyle.
Really?
Yep. I mean, as of now, who knows? Yeah. When it gets cold, again, I might just be like, fishing sucks. You gotta wear jackets? Fuck this.
Actually, yeah, I'm very curious to see what's gonna happen with you in the winter.
Yeah.
Maybe you're gonna become a hunter.
Oh, that doesn't sound right.
And it didn't feel right when I said it. well, yeah, that I asked because I know in every single hobby that I've ever had, I know that there's definitely a point where as I'm doing it, I get to this level and I'm like, oh, this is I don't think I'm ever going to be this good. This is for clearly I'm out of my depth. I don't belong here. And I can stick to like this lower stuff, but there's no more to explore within that lower stuff. I can continue the practiced work of it and enjoy like the labors of being in this one level of my hobby, but there's no new doors to open. And then I kind of lose interest after that. Like
I feel that way with cooking, certainly, where I like to cook a whole lot. And then I'll see people who are like really into cooking and they get special tools for it. Like my brother Tommy has one of those like fire guns that burns things.
The creme brulee things.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that. And to make creme brulee, you need to get those guns. And you also need to get these specific large ramekins. And I see that and just like, well, I'm never going to be that into cooking. I'm not going to learn a new trick.
I'm just going to explore. What's this over here? The oregano?
No, I'll
just
taught myself how to cook at 15 years old, learned everything there was.
And the reason I asked you about this, Dan, is because I'm back in my carpentry. I'm following the footsteps of Jesus.
Okay.
I'm a woodworker.
Yeah.
Man who works with his hands.
Yeah, no, that was his main thing.
Yeah. As far as I know. I mean, I never read the book, but that's the gist I got.
Yeah, the book. So for our listeners, I saw your entertainment unit that you made.
Yes.
That was like a rustic industrial, it's wood and plumbing pipes.
Yeah,
is that
it's gas piping.
Right?
Yeah, gas piping. Okay. I have a coffee table that's made out of that too.
And it was really great. It's exactly the kind of thing that you could like walk into West Elm and spend $700 on.
Yeah. So this combination has just taken off. You go to any restaurant now and you can see that combination of like hardwood. It's kind of like a cappuccino color wood and then black gas piping.
Yeah.
How like that's become a very popular thing. But when we first moved into our house, my wife was looking at coffee tables and I was pricing them and I was like, this is so expensive. Why couldn't I just make one? And looked up an idea for one and I was like, oh, I could make that. I could do some like modifications on that. And I made it and it was so easy because it was just this gas piping, which already comes in specific cut lengths. And then after that, I started getting more excited about it. And I was like, oh, I can make other stuff, I'm sure. And so I made a patio furniture. I made like a picnic table outside. I made a picnic bench and was getting very into it. And then I got into the realm of something with drawers. I tried to build a nightstand and that's mm-hmm. where I was just like, fuck this forever. how does anybody do
There's
this?
There's like a track and some wheels.
Yeah. Well, and just getting the shape of the drawer exactly right, creating that perfect right angle. I mean, I'm sure that there are tools out there for that kind of thing, but like I was getting so mad and frustrated. And to this day, I mean, I have the one that I built and it's a constant source of shame for me because it's so embarrassing. It's so bad that the drawer barely comes out.
You know, you'd be happy if you did know how to do it. You like,
yes,
because you understand the importance of thorough and practiced work, that the work itself is the reward. And so if you were the kind of person who knew how to competently make a nightstand with a sliding drawer, you would be happy.
Absolutely.
And you would find great joy in doing it, but you're not right now, and that sucks.
And I don't think that I'm going to ever be good enough. Well, it's going to take so long. I can now see how far across the river it actually is for, like, competence. Like, I know how far the swim is to get to expert, and I'm like, yeah. No, it's not worth it.
Right. That stops me from starting hobbies a lot of times, where certainly when I was living in Los Angeles and people were like, why don't you pick up surfing? You like the ocean. You love being in the water. And people who enjoy it really enjoy it. And I was like, well, I think I'll be bad at it for a long time, and I hate being bad at shit, so no.
Yeah, that's awfully early to get up in the morning to go be bad at something.
Right. Be bad for a very long time.
And get for that level of frustrated where you're just like, what? How? It's like learning an ollie on a skateboard. You're like, no, the physics are impossible. There's no way people do this. Anyway, I'm building my son is going to a new, he just got into a preschool that he's going to go to. In September.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And he's leaving his old daycare / preschool, which is across the street from our house. And mm-hmm. She's wonderful, the woman who runs it. And so I thought, what's something we could give her? I don't want to just like throw money at her. Like, thank you for taking care of my son. Here's a bunch more money. And so I was like, well, it'd be really nice. I know that she's got this busted ass bench in the back. It's a bench that has a back on it. It's like a park bench. In the back of her daycare, and it's kind of fallen apart. And I was like, I'll build her a bench and I will paint it. And then all the kids that go there throughout the years can sign it. And I'm like, yes. And so I started building this thing, and I'm remembering how all like the great things about like building the cut list and doing the math for it and getting it exactly right. How like the soothing nature of that. But I'm also remembering all the terrible frustrations when shit just goes wrong. And like, that's all in my, it goes wrong because of me. Like I will measure something and then measure it again and then cut it and then look at it and be like, this is half an inch off. How did that happen? It's like being in a bad dream where everything that I do is somehow I try and cover all the angles and be like, all right, you know, you have to worry about this. You have to worry about this. You have to worry about this. And somehow it still slips past me. It's like being a crazy person.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So are you going to give up on that bench?
No, man, it's almost done.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited about it. I did have to do some additional work on it. Like take some parts apart and put them back together and then go buy another piece of lumber and stuff like that. But it's looking good. I think it's going to be rad when it's done.
Where are you working on this? Is it your backyard?
Yeah, in between my garage and my house. My garage is separate from my house. And so all the tools and stuff are in there, but I do all the work on that, you know, the concrete in between the two. And it's just a massive amount of sawdust gets everywhere when you do this. It's like my entire garage is now coated. But I'm excited about it. Like I do, I realize that I do like doing it and I like the work of it and I like doing the math. But I just know at some point I'm going to be like, you know what? I think I'm ready for a nightstand again and I'm going to fuck it up and I'm going to give up on this again for another 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, I'm jealous of that. Like I built a lamp out of some wood and plumbing piping that I found somewhere because I just like saw a lamp online and was like, oh, that's nice, $60. Let me see if I can make it my own damn self. And I made that. And I would like to get into making furniture, but I haven't in 10 years had the space to make things because I've only been in an apartment. I feel like growing up in Jersey, we had the backyard of our house where I could do stuff. You can freely cut and like stain wood in your backyard in a way that you can't really do in an apartment.
Yeah, absolutely. The space is so crucial to doing it. Although there are workspaces all over cities, like in LA,
really?
There's a place.
I thought I invented that, or I thought I.
No, it exists.
One day invent that.
It exists. There's a place in downtown LA where you can go and you can do your woodworking there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. You should try it. Look in New York. See if they've got that for clocks.
Yeah, I will. I don't think I care for that tone.
It's hard C on clocks there.
That's a tone of a person who doesn't want a clock this Christmas.
What a gift that would be if you sent me back the clock unopened. I know you're into woodworking, Soren. Here's a. I thought you might like this.
You should go to Lowe's and buy some bits.
Anyway, when you finish it, if you could just send it back to me, that would be great.
I think that about wraps her up, right?
Yeah, that does it. I'm going to find all of the social information here. But before I do that, you've been sending me a lot of texts lately. And all they say is Israel should just move.
Mm-hmm.
Where I guess you just mean the country, like the country should move?
Is that, yes.
Okay. Like, you want to elaborate on that?
No. So what I have always, thank you very much for giving me this space to talk about this. What I have always thought is that it is not the country that makes the people. And Israel is a country, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, great. It's not the country that makes the people. It's the people that make the country, you know? So I feel like there's a lot of heads butting on this whole Israel thing, which is about as far as I'm willing to wade into the depths of this conversation, this whole Israel thing. That's what I'm willing to say. A lot of heads butting on this whole Israel thing. And I feel like if we just wanted to turn the temperature down a few degrees, to just like wind this down a few notches, just take Israel, and I'm using Israel in quotes, meaning the people, and put them somewhere else. And then...
an exodus, once, if you will.
Yeah. Once heads cool a little bit, and Israel is like, I don't know, an island, or that part just outside of Rio that used to be the Amazon, and now it's not anymore because it's on fire. If we just make that Israel, who's mad then? Everyone gets their things.
I would call that the Trail of Cheers.
Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you. That's very good.
All right. I found it. You could follow.
This is gonna be like, so here's the thing that's very true of me. I'm incredibly ignorant about Israel. And I imagine there are several things that I said that are probably legally hate crimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the point of these, though, right? All right. If you want to follow Daniel, you can follow him at DOB_INC on Twitter. That's DOB Inc. Or you can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD, Soren_Limited. But what you're probably going to want to do is follow Michael Swor, because anytime you have a problem with the show, it's not showing up on Spotify, or like we downloaded the wrong episode or where the fuck it is, you're going to want to talk to him, because he's the one who can change it. And you can follow him at Make Me Bacon Please, but that's please spelled PLS. And you can follow Quick Question as well, QQ_Soren and Dan on Twitter. You can also email us. Again, this is just Bacon's territory. He's the only one who will check this. And I'm sure, I'm confident he'll check it at some time before Christmas. QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, QQ with, no, that's not right. QQ_with_Soren_and_Daniel. Whew. All right, we're getting there. All right. Now, also, we have a sound engineer and a producer, an editor, and that's Vincent. Vincent, you can follow, or you can hire him at siliconbeachpodcast.com. And we have a Patreon. If you just go to patreon.com/quickquestion, you can find it, and you can donate money to us and Dan's plan to move Israel.
Yeah, just somewhere chill, somewhere where it's not going to bother so many people.
Somewhere cool, man. I hear Canada's nice.
Yeah, and there's so much space up there.
North Dakota, we barely got anybody there.
All right, bye.
Bye.